Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 123. Going to preview the week three fab, talking schedules, two-star pitchers, recent ad drops in CBS, and much, much more. Plus, talk some recent news. We're about a week, actually our week into the season. This time last week was opening day, so we'll talk about some goodies that might have gone on since then. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
I don't know. Doing okay. Like, usually it's a couple minutes into each episode where I forget what day it is. We were spending some time back and forth before the show debating what week it is. Mm-hmm. So that's not going in the right direction. I guess this is the week three fab preview. We had both said week two earlier, but we'll go with week three. Other than that, I'm doing fine. I am thinking of our mascot in this dizzying time.
Oh man.
What a roller coaster that was on Wednesday for Reggie to get the start, the leadoff double, and then left the game with dizziness. I haven't heard from him or his people.
There's been no update. They did not play today, so we'll get an update on Friday. That's the hard part, is you don't get any updates when there's days off.
There was the Tigers Mets doubleheader, but outside of that, there was a very slow trickle of news today.
Yeah, not much. So we'll talk about a few things that have taken place since Tuesday. Other than that, though, it's good to have baseball back. Be nice if the weather would go away, but that's April in a nutshell. Like, it's raining in California right now, so that's just awesome. And Giants have their home opener tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. It should play, but you never know. But let's talk about some recent news since we last left off. A big piece of news: Yuri Perez, Tommy John surgery. I was telling someone, I think maybe on the ITL show earlier, was it felt weird because I do a lot of updating of news every evening, and we were getting updates on, like, Edward Cabrera, who's throwing a four-inning sim game. We're having Braxton Garrett, he's throwing four innings. It's been kind of crickets on Yuri for about a week because he was throwing with them. Then it just went quiet, and then this news dropped on Thursday morning. So the simple answer, Ryan, is you're dropping Yuri Perez, but how else are you approaching this situation?
I mean, that is what you do. I did, unless you're in a league where, like, in Tout Wars, I was, I guess it's the message board post of shame. I was the first one in the league to put in my post to get a fab rebate on Yuri Perez. So in Tout, actually, I like this. It's actually something for if you lose somebody. If you lose somebody for the year, you can get their auction value back, or in a straight draft is how Tout does it, the equivalent of their auction value where you picked them. You get that back times 10 in fab dollars. So I'll get, I don't know, maybe 150 fab bucks in return for my loss of Yuri Perez. I'd still rather have Yuri Perez, but just interesting. I mean, could go off on a whole tangent here, but, like, Miami babied Yuri Perez all of last year. Like, did they know something back then? I don't know if they didn't. And, like, obviously the babying approach didn't work. And it kind of goes back to, I mean, I liken this to even like Paul Skeens is down in AAA right now. I'm not going to say he's going to get hurt or whatever, but, like, with these young prospects, use your bullets because you never know when something like this is going to happen. So it totally sucks for Perez, probably All-Star break 2025. We'll see him again. So
yep, surgery on Monday, same doctor that did Sandy Alcantara's surgery. So they can hang out together for a bit. Joe Rico in the chat: so much for my B&B auction with Yuri as the ace. Happens.
It happens. And DC's, that's super tough. We got the Kansas City Moose himself. Big pod here, Gialdi. Boys. We got a lot going on. Mr. Gialdi, welcome. And Alex Stewart cheering on other people in the chat. So yes, Let's keep the chat active and going tonight.
Yeah, pass some fun tonight. It's a good one. Next bit of news here: Josh Jung. Last time we talked, he was going to be out like 6 to 8 weeks, standard stuff. Well, they went and had his surgery, and it was worse than expected. So now Josh Jung is going to be out 8 to 10 weeks. We saw Josh Smith get the start on Tuesday. Ezekiel Duran started on Wednesday, but Josh Smith played shortstop as Corey Seager played DH. I still hope it's Duran in the end. Justin Foscue got called up. But I guess the biggest question I have for you, because we kind of hit on the playing time stuff on Tuesday, what are you doing with Josh Jung now if it is more like a 10-week thing that, you know, we always say take the longer side of it? And does that mean he's returning in 10 weeks? Is he starting to get into game shape in 10 weeks? Like, is this more of a 3-month thing? what's your, if you have Josh Jung and it's a, and you have no IL spots, what are you doing?
I mean, so we typically go at this. I'm the 15 team guy and you're the 12 teamer. In a 15, I'm still holding, but it's if you've already got a stash or an injury guy, I can see cutting Josh Jung. Like, I don't think he's so good that you have to hold on to him like a Garrett Cole or something. I think in a 12, and maybe you disagree, I think in a 12, he's gone.
Yep, 12, he's gone. He's gone. You start talking, like, 1 month is kind of where things end for me. You start talking that two, I worried it's more like the three, because the other thing with wrist injuries is usually it takes time for the power to come back. Like, there's so many factors.
And that's involved. What Jung brings to the table. I mean, it's not like he's not running. Small bases to, right, yeah. Exactly. So
it's just so many factors to it. Like, and there's some third basemen on the wire, hopefully. Maybe we'll talk about a few later in the show, but it's getting towards the point that if you've already got a stash going on, it's see you later, Josh Jung, and maybe get aggressive on him in like a month and a half and try to bring him back for cheap, or it's just till next year, because it's just been a shame that the silly injuries he's been having, basically. So it's a weird deal.
Yep.
All right, Eloy Jimenez, just want to bring this up again because there was a funny quote today. He's still day-to-day, if anybody's asking, with his abductor injury. They're hopeful he can play this weekend, but I've heard that every day when I look at his reports. But Eloy Jimenez, this is from Daryl Van Schwan. He's a Sox beat reporter. He said, Eloy Jimenez expressed extreme frustration with his latest setback. He worked hard in this offseason and camp. Quote unquote from Eloy, sometimes I want to go home, but I'm going to keep working and be here for my teammates.
Sounds like me, like at my day job.
That's why I heard that. Now, just like next thing we're going to see in Chicago, they're going to have a jersey hanging in the dugout for Eloy's abductor or something.
Dude, White Sox lost 10-1 today to the Royals.
Yeah.
It's a tough look on the South side.
Yeah. White Sox, Rockies. It's a tough go these days for a couple ball A's, Sacramento A's.
I do wonder if the White Sox IL Eloy at some point. He's missed a few, but
you should. You could probably retroactive him and he'll be back in 4 days still. It's been this long now. This feels so much like the Lou Bob situation last year, where they just like wait and wait and wait. And by the time he come back, it'd been like 14 days. The IL's a 10-day stint, and it's just like, what are we doing? So yeah, not good. All right, next bit of news here. Brandon Lau, he left the game on Wednesday with left side tightness. Stop me if you've heard this before. Brandon Lau is injured again. They didn't have a game on Thursday, so we'll get more information on Friday. When I hear left side tightness, that sounds like an oblique to me, which usually means an MRI, which usually I have not seen many obliques not end up in at least a small IL stint. So that's just kind of where I'm going with this in my head, preparing myself for the weekend. Maybe things change, but anytime you pull this, it's not great. So Ahmed Rosario, Curtis Mead should be the benefactors. We'll see how it plays out this weekend. But how are you looking at this Brandon Lau situation?
That's what it looks like. I also wonder, because Lau was hitting second, I wonder who would move up into that number two spot, because there are guys on the Rays, Jose Caballero, Jose Siri. Would Rosarena go up to second? That could very much matter from a stolen base standpoint who moves up to second in the order. So check that out. If it is like a Jose Caballero, he may be on some of our fab boards later on. But like, if it is Caballero, he's already an everyday shortstop, but has been hitting lower in the Rays lineup. If that moves up to second, that could be a big deal.
Yep. 100% agree on that one. So something to monitor in the next couple of days when the Rays play to see how that one plays out.
Joe Arrico in the chat, all three lows are hurt, and both McGill's. The other McGill, like, fainted, didn't he?
Fainted at a Spectrum store, hit his head, and now is on the 7-day concussion IL. Chalk that up to what the F baseball injuries. That's like Jeremy Affeldt cutting his hands, like taking frozen hamburger patties apart. That's Sammy Sosa pulling his back, sneezing.
Jeff Kent? What did Jeff Kent do?
Washing his truck.
That was the story, at least.
Yes.
I think there was something else. But
a lot of fun stuff there. A lot of fun stuff. Next up on the agenda here, we have Victor Robles to the IL with a hamstring injury. Robles has actually had a decent sprain. There's actually a little bit of optimism for him. Goes to the IL, and Jacob Young got called up. He got the start on Thursday. They were facing a lefty, so keep that in mind. But Young is only 24. He is young. and he stole 13 bases in 33 games with Washington last year. So could be a speed source, but again, maybe it's Eddie Rosario versus righties, Young versus lefties. How would you approach this situation?
Unfortunately, like the least favorite word of everyone is platoon, and that's what it does seem like. I do think I'm trying to pull up the Nats schedule as I talk, which is of course bad podcasting. The Nats do get two. No, that's Thursday. Never mind. No, they do. They get two lefties this weekend. So if you're in like a daily league or trying to kind of squeeze every steal that you can, I do think Jacob Young, like you said, played against a lefty on Thursday. They get two more, although one is Christopher Cy Sanchez. So, you know, that's probably an offer. But Young against lefties, Jacob Young against lefties would be a very sneaky stolen base source.
Yes, very, very sneaky. Lots to like in that scenario. All right, I'm going to run through some Cardinals updates because we got quite a bit of them today. So bear with me here. But we'll start with Tommy Edman for you. There's a lot. I'm scrolling back through it all here. Tommy Edman has still yet to begin baseball activities. That's the first bit of news I'm going to give you on that one. And when you look even farther at Tommy Edman, it gets entertaining. But where the heck did it go? Sorry, I'm blind. I need new glasses. There it is. No, that's not. This is great podcasting. They have a million injuries. Oh, there it is. Okay, Tommy Edman said he got generally good news, generally, quote-unquote, good news from an MRI scan on his surgically repaired right wrist on Wednesday. Edman said he's still shut down from most baseball activities until another exam on the wrist takes place on Monday. Edman had surgery in October. So if you want to think wrist surgeries and Josh Young, these are the bad things that can take place if things go really wrong. But basically, Tommy Edman, best-case scenario, middle to end of May. Just throwing that out to people. I'll let you thoughts or I'll go to the next player.
No, I mean, it just sounds bad. And it's that age old, like if he's not good in 6 months, will he be that much better in 7 months since the operation? So Edmund is 78%. I was looking up as you were fumbling around there, Bubba, 78% rostered in 12s. I would expect that to go down quite a bit these next few weeks, especially given that news.
Wilson Contreras missed Thursday's game. He got hit on the hand on Wednesday. He's day to day. He was getting further evaluated on Wednesday. Yvonne Herrera got the start, went ding dong city. Just throwing that out there, folks. Mentioned that many times in the preseason.
Herrera was a favorite of both of ours. It was just playing time. And everyone needs a second catcher pretty much. If you need that second catcher spot, if this news with Wilson Contreras is really anything, Yvonne Herrera is a fab, I would say fab priority, depending on what your second catcher looks like.
Brendan Donovan was out of Wednesday's game. He got hit on the elbow twice on Wednesday. He's day-to-day, but also another one to watch. Dylan Carlson got the start in the outfield. Victor Scott went to center field and led off on Thursday as his days are dwindling. So keep an eye on that. They're dwindling because Lars Nootbaar is making another rehab start on Thursday. That's his second rehab start, and he could return this weekend. So keep that in mind, Lars Nootbaar. Last bit of news I'm going to mention, though, is Sonny Gray. This is the one that's interesting. Sonny Gray, they basically said his next start, if he wants it in AAA or the bigs, is up to him. He's likely choosing the bigs. He'll have a 70-pitch limit, kind of like we saw with Kevin Gausman. So Sonny Gray could be back to start next week, early next week. So I just want to throw that out there as well.
That would be fantastic. No one cares about my Tout Wars team, but the team that lost Yuri Perez also has Sonny Gray. So I could use that. But yeah, keep. And if I were Sonny Gray, my next start, I would certainly want to throw in the bigs.
Yes. Why not? Yes. So he might be back really, really soon, which is good. Last bit of news I have here is just on Royce Lewis. He got a PRP injection to help his quad heal. He spoke of the urgency to get back on the field quickly. They didn't update it. They didn't update his timetable, but the whole concept of him trying to get back quickly with a soft tissue injury never makes me happy.
That was my big takeaway. And I think I saw a couple takes where like, oh, great. Royce Lewis is going to be back earlier than we thought. This just smells of them rushing it. And there is, I say there's no need. Like, yes, obviously Royce Lewis would help Minnesota a ton, but you can't rush this, man. You cannot rush this. I take this news update as a negative. There, I mean, again, there's nothing you can do. If you're holding Royce Lewis, you're holding him. But like, the urgency to get back on the field with what Royce Lewis has dealt with, not just the knee, but the soft tissue stuff last year and then the quad this year, like that is not what I want to hear, actually.
Yep, I'm 100% with you. So wanted to bring it up just so everybody knows, don't get too excited. The Moose, last year Royce had a grade 2 oblique, came back in 3 weeks as Babe Ruth.
He did. Yes, he did.
Yes, so anything's possible, I guess, to be young again. But we also saw Jonathan
India come back. The season ended before he could get hurt again. So
yeah, that too. Jonathan India came back and got hurt for about 2 months after that, so soft tissue injury. Always fun stuff. And I can't remember where I heard it the other day. They said the worst part about like obliques and other soft tissue is when you think you're fine, you have to test it, and if it goes wrong, you're back down again. It's just like one of those things. You can't just put a full, like, you could probably be gentle to test it, but it's never good. Never good at all. All right. Week 3 Fab preview. As we've talked about many times, Ryan's been doing an awesome job with the charts here. We'll talk about the schedule coming up. We'll talk about 2 start pitchers, and we'll talk some of the most ad dropped players on CBS over the last week to give kind of a 12 team context of maybe some people you should be looking to target for the week. So, Bloom, if you want to have the floor, I'll give you the floor, and then we can get started with the team-by-team, game-by-game situation.
Yeah, a couple enhancements to the tool this week. We talked about last week we had home and away games, and now it's versus lefty and righty. So for folks that did not watch or listen to the show last week, we're going with a 3-pronged approach. Put my corporate marketing hat on here. 3-pronged approach to our Fab preview. First, we're going to look at the schedule grid that I've been kind of working on using MLB probables and doing some strength of schedule, strength of opponent type stuff that has just games, lefty, righty, and who the opponents are. So we'll kind of run through that each team. And then we'll do CBS grid. And then we'll look at two starters. CBS grid, I've been working on this week. Well, I'll talk about it next when we actually bring it up. But for now, it's the schedule. A lot fewer TBDs.
Yes, we're getting there. We're getting there. Like I said, and then when Sonny Gray comes back, that'll change. And like we found out when Blake Snell's actually pitching, so on and so forth, we're starting to get a better feel for the way things are going to go. So let's get after it here. We'll go team by team like we've done before. We'll start with Arizona. They got 6 games starting the week in Colorado for 3, and then at home versus St. Louis. Even the St. Louis starts, it's Matz, Gibson, and Mikolas. Pretty good week to be an Arizona Diamondback. The only thing is it's 3-3 lefty righties.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think if you're looking at Fab pickups in even in 12 teamers and certainly in 15s, you're wanting to kind of take advantage of weeks where a team plays 5 or 6 righties. Usually it's usually hard to get that many lefties. Like Jake McCarthy comes to mind. We kind of brought him up on the show last time, who has a ton of stolen base upside, could be really good in spurts, but will only play against righties, and the 3-3 split is tough. So from an actual schedule standpoint, Arizona, the first half of the week at Coors against Freeland, Quantrill, and Gomber, like you want to try and start exactly any
Blaze Diamondback Alexander, you can. Blaze Alexander.
Geraldo Perdomo, who I guess got hurt today or yesterday, so we'll see. Yep. But the second half of that is kind of up in the air. And again, these projected opposing starting pitchers we've got on the screen here, these are just projections. So we just talked about like Sonny Gray, who very well might be going against Arizona this time next week. But right now we've got it Matz, Gibson, and Miles Mikolas. So a pretty sweet schedule for Arizona for their everyday guys. The platoon guys, it's a little bit tougher to start that.
Yep. Could be tricky, but like even the first week or the first half of the week, if you're on biweekly moves, I'm not even kidding about Blaze Alexander. He plays versus lefties, plays well. If you're in shallower leagues, even Eugenio Suarez, who matches left-handed pitching, would be a fun one for the first part of the week.
Yep.
Atlanta Braves, not a whole lot of guys will be available for you, but they got the Mets at home and then at Miami for 3. So Mets for 4, Miami for 3. And this is another kind of split lefty-righty situation. But it is the Atlanta Braves, Ryan. So what are we seeing?
So there's not much you can do fantasy-wise, except for Adam Duvall. I like Adam Duvall. He's going to play every day against lefties, and the Braves do get 3 lefties. And so maybe Adam Duvall gets a 4th start against one of the righties or something, pinch hit appearances. So I think in 15-teamers, Adam Duvall is a decent start. And I think the Braves they just get one lefty this coming weekend. So, I don't know. Adam Duvall, Jared Kelnick platoon is kind of the only like decision you're kind of making there from a fantasy aspect. I think everyone else, including Orlando Arcia, is rostered.
Yep. You're pretty much locked in on that squad. Baltimore Orioles, they get six games, three at Boston, three at home versus Milwaukee. And this one stands out. If you can platoon folks, six right-handed pitchers.
Yep. So we look at which lefties are out there. Ryan O'Hearn is hitting like fourth or fifth in this lineup. Yep. That is pretty sweet. So he's someone I'm looking at. And the, you know, outside of Cy Pavetta, I guess your boy Bayo and Cutter Crawford. Crawford's kind of a sexy. Good. Yeah, the Boston trio is
not pretty solid.
Not too bad. It's the Milwaukee side. Yes. It's the Colin Ray. Ross, that's Joe Ross.
That's Jesus. Joe Ross. Yeah, he had a short outing because he's not stretched out yet.
And Jacob Junis. So those six guys combined, what you're looking at on the screen, had a combined 15% strikeout minus walk last year. At some point, I'll flip this over to 2024 numbers, but right now we're looking at last year. So that's what that K minus BB column is. It's the strikeout minus walk of the opposing pitchers. So like the low ones, we'll get to Cleveland. They have the lowest of the week, 7% are in green, meaning good for hitters and bad for pitchers.
Hey, you mentioned Ryan O'Hearn. If this was ever a week for Colton Cowser, this is.
Oh, I know. But like it hasn't been. I mean, how many starts has he made?
It's like one, I think.
It's tough because ridiculous. Like there was all this buzz. Colton Cowser made the team and it, you know, was a pretty popular fab pickup kind of in week zero, week one, whatever week it is again. I still haven't learned that. But there's a difference between making the team and playing every day, and Colton Cowser right now is that difference. So, yes, hopefully this is a good stretch for Colton Cowser. But the Orioles need to, for me to start Colton Cowser, the Orioles need to show that they're willing to start him.
It's just tough. You have Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes, and Santander. Like, none of them are platooning. Like, right. It's just like, is he gonna make Austin Hayes sit for six games? No. Like, it's just like Ryan Mountcastle. That's where O'Hearn comes into play.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the dilemma. Like on paper, perfect Colton Cowser. But then again, he's just going to Norfolk and put up 40 runs with that team. Like, my goodness.
Dude, Heston Kjerstad had 10 RBI in a game, man.
Yeah. It just watching that video game that they're playing down there is bonkers. Yeah. Bonkers stuff. It's like the old narrative. Could Alabama beat a team in the NFL? Could Norfolk beat a team in the major leagues? I'd like to see them play Colorado.
Or Oakland.
That'd be fun.
If there's a professional sport where that holds true, it could be baseball.
100%. 100%. Boston Red Sox, they get three against Baltimore, three against Anaheim, all in Boston, but they got that nasty 3-3 lefty-righty split.
The nasty 3-3 split, and the first half of the week, it's Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez. So it's a tough go for Boston. We'll see that the back end of the Angels rotation did not impress in week one with that. Demers pitched okay, but Silseth, who else am I thinking of? Griffin Canning did not pitch well. Tyler Anderson actually pitched well, which is interesting, but just kind of an average schedule for Boston. And yeah, the platoon doesn't help there.
All right. Chicago Cubs, they get three at San Diego, three at Seattle, all six right-handed pitchings, Bloomfield.
So, yep, you want to look and see which lefties on the Cubs might platoon and get in there. Maybe a Mike Tauchman week, but he's not that, like, he's just kind of an empty batting average, and he's not leading off. Ian Happ, I believe, has been leading off most of the time. Could actually be an Ian Happ week. I mean, he's rostered everywhere, but Ian Happ is the leadoff hitter against lefties, so I would expect Happ to lead off six times for the Cubs next week.
Michael Busch. Pick him up. He's platooning with Garrett Cooper at first base. It could be a full Michael Busch weekend. It's one of those, if he can't prove it this week, it's time to move on type situation. So, yeah, I'd say Michael Busch would probably be a guy to think about.
That's a good call. I like that.
All right, let's check out the next one here. Chicago White Sox. They got Cleveland for three, at Cleveland for three. Then they're at home against Cincinnati for three. Four righties out of the bunch.
Yeah, and a tough go. Yeah. Bieber looks a lot better than last year. Logan Allen actually looks decent so far. I believe he's 2-0. Tanner Bibee, who we talked about last episode with the velocity fall. Velocity came back a little bit today and looked very good against Minnesota. I believe struck out nine. So I think the Tanner Bibee worries after that Oakland start can now be pushed aside. But I don't know, man. Like, can we really have a podcast and recommend streaming the Chicago White Sox hitters?
Hey, I'll just keep saying Juan Moncada. He's still playing well. I'm not even trying to be
facetious. He's on some of my teams. He plays every day.
He's
well,
and he's hitting for at least average, like, right now. Like, there's
– hitting second.
Yeah. So, like, he's got viability, especially in deeper formats. So,
I guess.
As a whole, though, like, Dominic Fletcher. No, we're good. Cincinnati Reds. They got 7 games this week. They got 3 or 4 at home against Milwaukee. And then 3 at the Chicago White Sox. That's the one of the more perfect storms in baseball if you're not all in Great American Small Park. And 5 are right-handed pitching. If Will Benson, I'm going to beat you. If Will Benson's still out there, fix that now. Just fix it now.
Agreed. Especially given the righty-heavy nature of the week. Jake Fraley as well. Probably rostered, but Benson, Benson is the pickup. And 7 games is just huge. We should have probably mentioned that at the top. There's no team that gets 5 games next week. So there is a lot of baseball to be played next week. Heck yeah. And probably a lot of 2-starters as well. So, and I think there's just eyeballing it, 6 or 7 teams that get 7 games. So Cincinnati's one of them, 4 of them at home. Go for it.
And what I'll mention with Benson's been like hitting 2nd versus righties and 9th versus lefties, where Fraley sits versus lefties. So Benson's just got that beautiful situation on tap with those matchups ahead. So yeah, go get in on that one while you can. Cleveland Guardians, they have 3 at home. I forgot what team Fetty was on for a second. 3 at home versus the White Sox, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 4 versus right-handed pitching. The White Sox part's pretty sweet. The Yankees could be.
We'll see. The White Sox part with Crochet. Crochet has been damn good.
He's been knitting up the grid.
Like I said, I watched that. God, that was bad. that was really bad.
It was. That was bad. That was really bad.
I was going to say something now, and I forgot.
You were watching something.
Oh, yeah. So I was watching the Bibee start. Cleveland as a team, their team approach is solid, man. There's not a lot of power bats on that squad. But, dude, they are not a team I want to stream pitching against. They work counts. They put the ball in play.
They don't strike out.
Like, Pablo Lopez pitched, I thought, fairly well today. Trying not to be biased here. Only got 2 strikeouts against Cleveland. They made him work for it. So that's not the pushover lineup from a pitcher streaming standpoint that I thought it might be heading into the season.
Yeah, like 2 nights ago, they scored 8 runs on 10 hits with 2 strikeouts off George Kirby.
That's right.
The Guardians, like I was telling people before that game on some DFS content, that I know it's early stats, but like a sub 16% K rate versus righties. And like they just work, like you said, work the counts. They put the ball in play. They don't strike out. It's a sneaky, sneaky team. Like Gialdi says, see what eliminating Miles Straw can do. Yeah, that's true.
When you look up addition by subtraction in Merriam-Webster, Miles Straw face shows up.
I wanted to mention this. Kevin Hastings says, Bubba would be proud. My schedule grid with probables and notes is handwritten.
Yeah.
Love you, Kevin.
This is absolutely not handwritten. The code is. But
all right, Colorado Rockies. We finally get our first Coors Field. we get them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're there over the weekend. They finish out their first homestand with 3 against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they go to Toronto for 3 more. It's Gallen and Kelly. Gallen's had some velocity issues. I don't know. It's still Colorado, man. They're out there so bad.
I know, and that's like. It's so easy to fall into the kind of default, like, okay, go get your Rockies. But, like, man, it's a really bad team. It's a bad lineup. It's like, yeah, you can probably start Charlie Blackmon. Brendan Rodgers probably rostered. But, like, Tovar's probably rostered. Maybe you go grab Brenton Doyle. But this is not just go get Rockies. They're at home because they themselves are pretty bad. And to Gialdi's point, do we even fear starting pitchers at Colorado anymore?
Certainly
not to the extent we used to. It's something that's just ingrained in our head that I don't think is the case anymore.
We started to not fear them as much last year, especially early in the season when it's colder. Production was down tremendously in Colorado. I'm curious to see what Gallen does with his velocity down both starts so far. Like he's navigated it, only given up 1 earned run. Like he's got the job done. He's pitching very well. Merrill Kelly's been great, so I'm curious to see where it goes. The other factor is most of your Rockies guys are probably picked up to start the series this week, I'd imagine. So I don't even know what's out there for next week. If like a Toglia is out there, he'll play at least two out of three as a left-handed bat. He's got some pop, but yeah, it's a rough. Like in your two out of threes, like I said, it's Gallen and Kelly. So we really, really pumped on that. Probably not. A team we might get pumped on, a team we streamed a lot towards the end of last year, and you might not be able to stream because it might be rostered for most of the season pretty soon, is the Detroit Tigers. They got six games this week. They play three at Pittsburgh and three at home against Minnesota. Only one lefty being Martin Perez, and then it's four against Minnesota. My bad.
Yeah, they have a weird off. They play Monday, Tuesday. They're off Wednesday, and then have a four game against Minnesota, which is bizarre.
Four righties in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, which is key. And I mean, the Tigers do. I mean, just looking, you could do Parker Meadows, Kerry Carpenter, Colt Keith, Riley Green probably rostered, but yeah. A lot of their lineup is just straight up platoons. So, like on the other side of that coin, a Matt Vierling is a short side platooner. That's not someone you want to look at this week, just given the five righties that Detroit faces. It's interesting. So, like we enter the season thinking, oh damn, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Louis Varland, like that's tough. Joe Ryan looked good. Bailey Ober absolutely didn't. Varland got rocked. I think Paddock was okay. Jury's a little bit out on the effectiveness of the back half of Minnesota's rotation right now.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Gialdi's skeptical on the Detroit lineup, and I'm just optimistic. It's a young setup that I'm ready to like have their moment sometime this summer.
I mean, it's a bad lineup, but bad lineups lead to streaming possibilities. So.
Especially in some of these early matchups. Houston Astros, one of our seven games for a team this week. It's a weird schedule, though. I was looking at this actually earlier today. Monday is at Texas. Then it's three at Kansas City. And then three at home versus Texas. So you get four versus Texas. You get Heaney twice this week, which is pretty awesome.
not for total, Heaney.
Yeah, three total lefties. One of them's Cole Reagans. But this is one of those weeks where obviously, we'll have to see what the whole Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran, Foscue situation is at third base. But anything else that works for you? Because when I ever see Texas, they pretty much are locked in for the most part.
You talking Houston or Texas?
Sorry, Houston. I was looking at Texas being so many spots there. That was my bad. I kept mentioning Texas. Houston, same thing. They're pretty much locked in anyways.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's Jake Myers. I think he's kind of part-time with Mauricio Dubon. They're pretty, and I don't know if you want those guys anyway. Yeah, we don't need to spend much time on Houston. All those guys are rostered except for the number nine.
All right, you got Kansas City. They have five. They have Houston they have six games because you have a to be determined. That's why I learned this chart some more. They got three versus Houston, three at the New York Mets. The Mets series could be quite productive in the end game. The Houston one could be a little tricky. That TBD, I believe, will be a bullpen game, but I'm not sure just yet.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
Verlander sure. Has two more rehab starts to go.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why it's probably TBD. I don't know. I think kind of an average week. That's all I got.
Nothing crazy. I mean,
there is Manaea. Manaea did look really good, but there's Christian Javier looked really good too.
Yeah, Javier's looked really good. It's basically targeting Hauser and Buehler at the end of the week. It's what you'd be going for. Two right-handed pitchers who you're targeting in Kansas City. Left-handed wise, that's available. Probably not much. So maybe Nick Prado gets called up for the slumping Vinny P. I don't know. But we'll kind of play it as it goes in that scenario.
Yep.
All right. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they have six lovely games this week. Three at home versus Tampa, three at the Boston Red Sox, all right-handed pitching. That sucks for Luis Rengifo.
That's what it's where we immediately go.
Because Bron Washington's an idiot.
Rengifo's a bench this week, or next week, I think. If they're going against six righties, that's just it's not the case. Mickey Moniak, maybe, in deep leagues. But outside of that, man, it's the Angels. They're bad. Don't get me started on the Angels.
It's so bad. And they were talking about they wanted to run like crazy. They have one stolen base this year. Well, partly because Rengifo doesn't play. So that
none of them get on base. That doesn't help either. When your leadoff guy's 0-19.
And then Miguel Sano's out there to clock the bases as well.
Yeah.
I will say this. If Nolan Schnoll is available on your waiver wire, this is a great week to have him. A phenomenal week. And yes. He's still been on base every game since he's been called up last year. Because OBP skills are through the roof, left-handed bat, top of the order. That would be a guy I would look to if he is available for you.
And has this is us in the first week of the season, has hit a barrel this year. With Shanwell, it's the power. It's not the plate discipline, the average. It's what else comes with that. So he does have a barrel and a home run. And yeah, against six righties, he will hit. Shanwell will hit. I think it's Shanwell will hit second.
I screw it up.
Every day. So there's that.
Yep. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have three at Minnesota, three at home versus San Diego, six right-handed pitchers. Stack them if you got them.
Yeah, and are there that many to stack?
Taylor Trammell. He just got called up to take Jason Hayward's spot. Imagining he's the platoon piece there. That's my guess.
There you go. Good call.
That's my guess. And he'll be available in every waiver wire because he was a minor leaguer for the Mariners, so go get him this weekend if you want. I think he should be the guy with platooning just to take Hayward's spot. That'd be my 2 cents.
It's a mildly tough schedule, but in that lineup against all righties, I could get behind that for sure.
Yep, you lock and load and have some fun. Miami Marlins, they have six games on the week. They face three at the New York Yankees, then three at home against the Atlanta Braves, and it's not the cushiest of schedule.
It's not, and most of their full-timers are rostered, and with the 3-3, they do have a lot of platoon guys like Jesus Sanchez, I like, but probably only starting three times next week. So that's, I mean, if you have Jesus Sanchez, he probably is pretty widely rostered, you might want to look for an alternative in outfield next week because he's probably starting just three games.
Yep, good point on that one. The Milwaukee Brewers have one of the more enticing schedules to look at out the gate here. They have seven games next week, four in Great American Small Park, three against the back end of the Baltimore rotation, six right-handed pitchers. You could find some fun on the waiver wire this week with Milwaukee.
And there are lefties.
Yes.
There's Sal Frelick. There's, I can't believe
say
this.
It, say it, say it.
There's Jake Bowers. Yep. Somewhere Toby is smiling.
Keep going. There's some good ones.
There's the person we debated was an actual person on the last show, Oliver Dunn.
Yep.
And then Bryce Terang, who is hotter
we'll get
than
to him in a minute.
Hotter than hot right now. This is probably my favorite schedule of the week because of the games in Cincinnati, and they miss the at Baltimore is tough with the left field wall, but missing Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez, like that's the nuts. That's a great schedule for Milwaukee, and those aforementioned lefties that we named, I think are pretty decent pickups.
Yeah, you can have a lot of fun picking up some pieces in Milwaukee. Like definitely we haven't finished yet, but I'm with you. Might be the best team to target for streaming this week. Yep. Minnesota Twins, they get seven as well. They have three at home against the Dodgers and four at the Detroit Tigers. Detroit Tigers might not be as easy as once imagined. Dodgers looks to be a bullpen game within a couple aces.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't know really what to do with this one because, at Detroit's just a tough hitting park, and one of those at Detroit's is against Tarik Skubal. Another one is
Jack Flaherty.
The legend Jack Flaherty, exactly. Yeah. Thank you for picking me up there. And then Glasnow and Bobby Miller with the L.A. part on the first half of the week. That said, Minnesota does get those six righties, so like an Alex Kirilloff, Matt Wallner. Could make sense, but it's not the smoothest schedule. But from an actual like playing time and volume standpoint, I think Wallner and Kirilloff are decent ads if they're available in your leagues.
Yeah, I picked Wallner up last week for a buck in a lot of leagues just because they have so many righties the next few weeks in Minnesota.
Yeah,
I will mention Kirilloff is enticing because he's hitting really well. He's hitting almost 500 to start the season. It's pretty wild. No home runs yet, but he's hitting.
He's healthy. I mean, this is a guy who was a top, I want to say like consensus top 10 prospect at his peak before injuries derailed Kirilloff's career. So Kirilloff's healthy, hitting near the top of the lineup against righties and six of them. So, yep.
That's big.
I like it.
So, yeah, it's not the best of matchups, but the PT will be there and you can find some of those guys out there. New York Mets, they have a seven-game set on tap this week. They get the Braves in Atlanta for four and then three at home against the Royals. not ideal is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, three of the seven are against Strider, Max Fried, and Cole Reagans. Like, that's tough. So I don't know. They won it for the Mets won a game today. Your boy walked it off.
Polar Big Bear Meat Pete the Polar Bear.
Big Meat Pete the that's what you call him. That's right.
Yes, Big Meat Pete the Polar Bear. Do not bespeech his name.
I just go Polar Bear Pete. I'm not as graphic as you.
Hey, I like to paint pictures with my words. That's what happens around the mic all the time. You got to paint a picture for the listeners. But yeah, five righties out of the seven games. Still not a lot to get out there. Maybe a Brett Beatty or something. Like nothing I'm over the moon excited about. Joey Wendell is getting a little few more.
Oh, my bats. God.
Oh, like I'm just saying, if you're in the deepest of deep leagues and you're desperate, but I'm not looking to probably grab many Mets at all this week.
We are, since we are talking Mets, you would know better than me. Is JD Martinez coming back next week sometime?
Oh, that's actually in my update on my Substack for the day. And we have actually a legit update. So let me pull it up for you.
So he's did not read your Substack today.
No, it's coming. That's for the one that's coming out.
Oh, it's for tomorrow. Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, the update came.
Well, today. Then I admitted to not reading yours today,
yeah.
too.
So. Yeah, you're in the clear. You're in the clear. He actually came out and said he may be ready to go. Here it is. JD Martinez could join the Mets in a minor league affiliate as soon as tomorrow. That would be Friday. Martinez is unlikely to join the Mets when first eligible on Sunday, though. So there's no set time. He should be back sometime next week. When is the big question?
Yep. All right. I could use him.
Yeah, but like the problem is when, and it's a weekly league, so are you trusting to start him until you find out? DH is Tyrone Taylor, so I think they want him in as soon as possible.
Hey.
Be my guess.
No Tyrone Taylor hate allowed, please.
Yeah. New York Yankees, they got a six-pack this week. They get Miami for three and then at Cleveland for three. You got three lefties and three righties. Lizardo, but then Puck's not. It's Lizardo Puck weather, so three righties to end the week. Let's put it that way. It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Not much actionable stuff with the Yankees. Really, they just platoon their catchers. Oswaldo Cabrera, if available, is playing third base every day in the wake of the DJ LeMahieu situation. So probably rostered already, but outside of that, there's not much you really do with your Yankees.
Yeah,
unless I'm missing something. But.
No, you're not. Not at this point in time until someone else gets hurt, but not right now. Oakland Athletics, they got three at Texas, three at home against Washington. It's two lefties with Irvin and Gore, but it's a pretty interesting schedule as a whole. But it's the Oakland Athletics.
It's actually the Athletics now.
I forgot. They're still not open for the year. They're open.
That's
for
true.
The
they officially become the Athletics next year.
In a freaking joke of a ballpark. I can't wait to talk about that. Hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up today for this show, but we have so much to cover that we'll do it maybe Tuesday or later on. We got time.
We got until 2025. It's okay.
Yeah, the schedule is actually pretty decent, I think, for Oakland. And, J.J. Bleda is hitting. And hitting quite well and hitting second or third in that lineup. So
he must not have wore a wristband.
But he is playing every day. And so he's at least someone who's not only just riding a hot streak, but this is someone who was a legitimate prospect who just hasn't been able to put it together yet in the majors. Still just 26. So JJ Bleda is at least, an interesting add. And the schedule this week, especially Washington's pitching staff is just god awful. I think he's worth a shot.
Yep. In deeper leagues, Bleda, Lewis Butler, people like a lot. He's not hitting yet, but he's still getting tons of at-bats in the middle of that lineup, like fifth or sixth. So he'd be another guy just to attack at the end of the week. Outside of Eovaldi, maybe Mackenzie Gore, I'm not overly scared about their matchups for the week. It's one of those where they might just surprise people, weirdly enough. Because that will happen a few times this year with Oakland. It will happen. It happened last year. So remember, the Braves got swept in Oakland last year. So baseball's baseball at times. It gets goofy. Philadelphia Phillies, they have a seven-game schedule this week. They kick off the week with three at St. Louis and then four in Citizen Bank Park against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that is a juicy set of four games, and I don't really get too scared of the St. Louis spot, so he's got to play the platoons, Ryan, 3-4.
Yeah, there's not many platoons. Maybe like Brandon Marsh and Whit Merrifield, I think, is the only one where they kind of go back and forth. So that's the only part that kind of sucks about the schedule. Otherwise, yeah, big week ahead for Phillies bats.
I will say Johan Rojas, he's been playing pretty much every day. If you are just looking for a Philly to take advantage of these awesome matchups, he hasn't done like a ton yet, but he's got a, like, he's only hitting .067, but he's got a ton of speed. If he can start getting on base, like, that'd be a guy to maybe peak at in deeper formats.
.067.
Yeah, that's bad. Small sample though. It just takes like one good game. He's probably hitting .225 or something, and then one more game he's hitting .450. So that's the beauty of the start of the season. My math is not accurate, just spitballing, folks. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have a six-game series on tap here. It's a weird one, though. It's two at home against Detroit and then four at Philadelphia. So they get to go to Citizens Bank Park as well, which is a very nice setup when all things are said and done. And then it's Mize and Manning. We'll see if it is Manning. That's up in the air still.
Yeah.
But regardless, it's a Detroit Tigers fifth starter, so like really, don't be too scared. What are you doing with this one with Pittsburgh, who they get four righties, so that means Captain Jack has an impact on the week.
And our boy Rowdy. Who's done a couple things so far this year. So actually like Jared Triolo as well.
Yep.
He's been hitting like eighth, but playing every day at second base. So that's a
third base pretty soon.
Yep, exactly. And playing against lefties and righties. So for Triolo, it you know, the splits don't matter too much. So decent pickup there against a, I don't know, kind of a average to favorable schedule, I think, this week.
Yeah, it's a pretty good schedule. Like, you can get, if you're in an NFBC type format, you get two righties and one lefty to start the week, and then you finish the week with two righties and one lefty. So it splits up. At least it's not like lopsided one way or the other.
Yeah.
And you'll get plenty of production with Pittsburgh, who their offense is actually good. They're winning games this year. Like, they're 6-1, 7-1 so far, given opponents. I get it, but still.
And lastly on Pittsburgh, so Gialdi in the chat, sneaky good lineup. Henry Davis has played catcher every day.
Yep. He's already getting catcher eligibility
like very, very soon, if not already, depending on which league. I know there was some talk that it might not be until like June or whatever, but it's probably happening this week, this upcoming week, where Henry Davis is getting catcher eligibility. So that'll be pretty nice for folks that tried to time that one in their drafts.
Yeah, I saw Yahoo. We hit the 5-game threshold. That happened. So. Yep. NFBC, like you said, next week. Like, initially, I thought it would take longer because Yasmani Grandal was getting all the defensive reps.
Yeah, and he got hurt, right?
Got plantar fasciitis. He's still on the IL. So then it just opened the door wide open. It was like that whole Jim Carrey gif when he's and just pops up in the door all excited. Sorry, some people might know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm just going to date myself and go to the next game here.
They have Joey Bart.
They just traded for Joey Bart. God, yes. Damn.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Moving on.
San Diego Padres. They have six games this week. Three at home against the Cubbies. Three at the Dodgers. They got the better set of matchups with the Dodgers. So if you're looking for that, five right-handed hitters. If you're looking for that, but I don't know if there's a ton I'm in love with when it comes to San Diego this week.
No, because even the back half of the Dodgers, like if Gavin Stone is a dude, and I kind of think he might. We talked about him on the last show. That could be tough. So, yeah, I'm not going out of my way to grab Padres this week. Their lefty platoon guys are Graham Pauly and Jackson Merrill. So if Merrill available, perhaps, probably not Pauly, no matter what.
Yeah, it's probably a no for me, dog. San Francisco Giants, they got six on the week, three at home against Washington, three at the Tampa Bay Rays. Love the Washington start to the week, one lefty being Corbin. The back half of the week, Eflin, Pepio, and TBD is a little more concerning.
Any lefty Giants we should look at?
We have Lamont Wade Jr. will always be an option in that scenario. Yaz is probably out there still. If Conforto is, please grab him. Now he's playing versus Ryan's team. He's crushing it. But I was getting my Fab article ready for Fantasy Pros. He's only 51% rostered in Yahoo right now.
Okay.
Like, fix that, people. So it'd be Conforto, Lamont Wade, Yaz. It's pretty much it. That's all of them. That'd be the guys to look at if you're feeling like getting some Giants love for the week. But Conforto should be rostered in almost every 12-team and deeper league, in my opinion.
Yep.
All right. Seattle Mariners, you have the Toronto Blue Jays, Chicago Cubs, three at Toronto, three at home against the Cubbies. And you get the future NL Cy Young winner in Chodo Amonaga, and then you got some fun in Toronto. So what do you see with Seattle?
Yeah, they don't get Gausman. So it's a decent schedule. The 3-3 platoon split is tough. Mitch Haniger is a decent ad. He's hitting cleanup every day against both hands. Outside of that, I'm not seeing much. Like Jorge Polanco is still hitting third in that lineup. He has been terrible. This lineup has been really bad. Yeah, like Julio has been bad. Everyone. Henninger's been okay, but everyone's been bad.
St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games on the week, 3 at home against Philadelphia, 3 at the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they have one of those so nice-looking alt-6 versus right-handed pitching.
Alec Burleson, perhaps. I mean, we just ran through all of the injuries, so who knows?
Great time for Lars Nootbaar to come back if he's on the waiver wire.
Great time for Lars Nootbaar to come back. And if Brendan Donovan's injury is okay, we'll see. Another lefty on the Cardinals that you'd want to go for. But yes, this is the nuts. You want these 0-6 splits. You want 6 righties or 7 righties in some cases, and leverage those lefty bats.
And Donovan was actually swinging it well. So if he just day to day, yeah, I'd still go back to him also. But Nootbaar, I was saying it last week to start getting ready to grab him because he's coming back soon. If he's still out there, the time is now to jump on that one. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 3 at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 3 at home against the San Francisco Giants. They get Webb and Snell. That TBD will be Snell. That's already happening. He's pitching Monday and Sunday. He's going to be going after Webb in the rotation now. So that will switch things up just a bit. That'll give them 4 lefties for the week, I believe. So have fun with that. Or 3, it'll be 3-3, sorry.
Yeah, 3-3, which platoon-wise kind of sucks. But no, we talked about Tampa at the top. Look at Jose Caballero, I think, yes. if he's around.
Texas Rangers, they have a 7-game week. This is the one I was talking about earlier when I screwed it up. It's at home against Houston. Then they have 3 at home against Oakland, and then 3 at Houston. They get Framber Valdez twice in the week, but then they have the oh-so-nice Oakland H-Pitching staff in the middle.
Yeah, Framber actually turned things around.
Yep.
A little bit with that second start. Yeah, the Oakland staff. It's a good week for Texas. Like the 7 games you want. And I mean, the Valdez Javier part could be tricky, but small price to pay, I think.
Toronto Blue Jays have a 6-game week on tap. They have 3 at home against the Seattle Mariners, 3 at home against the Colorado Rockies, 5 being right-handed pitchers. So Toronto, if you can find platoon plays, could be a spot for you.
Yeah, maybe Kevin Biggio.
Yeah, yeah. That's been
one week. 5 righties. Like Kiermaier also platoons, but Kiermaier, I don't know. Not productive. Not as productive as he once was. So Kevin Biggio, if you're looking for someone who pretty much plays everywhere, but could work.
And then last but not least, you have the Washington Nationals West Coast swing. 3 at the Giants, 3 at the A's. The Giants, it's Webb. It's going to be Snell,
Webb. Yeah, that'll be Snell. Yeah, so that's Snell, not official Webb, yet, but yes,
Harrison. That'll be Snell. That should be the rotation. Snell, Webb, Harrison to start the week. And then you'll have, so that's 2 lefties right out the gate. And then you have Blackburn, Boyle, and Wood. So it'll be 3-3 to finish things off there. So yeah, that's what the Washington Nationals don't have the best. The end of the week against the A's could be good.
Yep, agreed.
And that's where you get your guys. We'll talk about with the, what was the name I gave you earlier that just got called up for Victor Robles? Just totally blanked. He got
stolen base guy.
Yeah, I'm pulling out. I want to say also Boyle, fantastic. But that's still wrong. Jacob Young. Yeah, I'm like, I want to say Boyle.
The stolen base guy.
That's what he is. That's what he's there for. So that could be the week for him. He's a right-handed bat that could have some fun if you get on base and run wild, kids. All right, show us your new CBS grid stuff, Bloomfield. Tell us what we got.
CBS. All right, so flip the grid over a little bit. We'll do hitters then pitchers. This is CBS's last week versus current week riser. So these are the top ads for CBS from the past week, and we tried to make it. CBS tends to be a little bit shallower. I mean, who knows? They've got a variety of different formats, but some of which are kind of fastest finger. You know, throughout the week there are ads. And so that's why I think it's important in weekly leagues. You can kind of see who's been rising throughout the week. I think we took less than 50% rostered in CBS leagues, and then added a kind of a year-to-date skill. So there's a batting average skill, the strikeout rate, barrel rate, and SBA for steals. That is stolen base attempt rate. And so that's what we're going to use as a gauge for stolen base guys that are rising in CBS. Stolen base attempt rate is an estimation for if you're on first base, how often do you try and steal? So Bryce Terang is our top guy. That is gone. He has gone from 12% ownership in CBS last week to 42% this week. He has a 100% SBA, which is just obscene. That means every time, every single time Bryce Terang has been on first base, he has stolen or tried to steal second base, and I think been successful all but one time. So he's been fantastic. Your league average stolen base attempt rate is, I want to say, like 10 to 15%, but that gets drugged down by a ton of 0% guys who just don't steal. So your typical base stealers will be around like 20, 25% for that stolen base attempt rate, which means one out of every four times that they're on first base, they will try and steal. So that's what we added this week. I just wanted to throw the CBS names up there and then color code, of course, because why not? Each of those batting average power and skill or speed skill filters.
All right, let's start with Bryce Terang right out the gate. We already talked about Milwaukee having one of the best matchups of the week. Terang has got six steals on the season, tied with Jaron Duran for the league lead, playing pretty much every single day. I think that seems like a great pickup, Bloomfield.
It does. It's just so we see the 0% barrel rate. Again, this is super. We shouldn't even be talking in percents at this point, but has not hit a barrel, which and has a pretty high K rate, which I think is the kind of issue with Bryce Terang. The way Bryce Terang is going right now, he will probably command a decent chunk of FAB. And I don't know if he's worth a decent chunk of FAB. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but you also factor in that he probably isn't playing against lefties, right or wrong. He's still young. He's someone who's hot right now, but I think you're paying for a very good stretch that just happened.
Yeah, that is fair. I would not overbid. I drafted him, so I'm good in that regard. I was a believer in the playing time and the speed, but still concerned. I think there'll be improvements in the bat, but still concerning. So I agree. Don't break the bank for Bryce Terang, right. But yep. I would definitely try to get Bryce Terang. JD Davis is a guy we mentioned recently. I just love playing every day in Oakland. The dude's got legit hitting tools. He just never got to utilize them. So if you need a third baseman, if you lost one of the guys recently, I'm good with that.
Yep, and this is the JD Davis we've seen so far. He has three barrels and playing every day at third base in Oakland. So I think a power add for sure. He's still going to be a batting average liability. But JD Davis, yes, we have wanted to free JD Davis for quite some time. And the Athletics deliver.
The Athletics did deliver. There's your boy, Mitch Haniger. He's there.
Yeah, you go. Look at that.
Connor Joe is high on the list because they faced a ton of lefties recently. I think that number comes back down here pretty soon.
Yep.
Travis d'Arnaud, obviously, with Murphy out for quite some time. That makes a difference. I wanted to hit on Jose Siri, though. This is a fun one because, like, last year, dude hit 222, year before 213. But, like, last year, 25 homers, 12 steals. It was, could you handle the batting average? He's hitting 250 with a homer and three steals. He's striking out almost 41% in a small sample. But, you know, we talked about it a second ago when it comes to Tampa Bay. They got three against the three lefties, three righties, and serial play a lot. So what are your thoughts on that?
This is the same guy as last year, which, again, isn't a bad thing. He had 25 homers, 12 steals last year. May even get more than stolen bases. But he's not a 250 hitter. That 40% K rate, the swinging strike rate for Jose Siri is over 20%. It was over 20% last year, and it's 21% now. Your league average on that is like 11. So this dude just whiffs. When he does make contact, it's good. When he gets on base, he runs. But this is a batting average, potential batting average disaster. And he doesn't walk either. So it's not like, oh, in OBP leagues or points leagues, Jose Siri's good. He doesn't walk either. He's actually like a terrible hitter in real life.
He's all about his glove. They love that
glove. But he plays. Yeah, he plays every day.
So. Love the glove. Nick Martini, we mentioned the five righties for Cincinnati this week. We talked about Benson. Martini's been starting versus the righties. Is this guy that interests you at all?
For this week, maybe. It's still Nick Martini. You probably paid for his best, but the five righties for Cincinnati this week at least gives it some you know, you could put in a small bid on Martini.
Trey Lipscomb's a fun one to talk about because we talked about JD Davis at third base with all the third base injuries that are going around. Lipscomb's one of the better prospects, apparently, even though he hadn't played past double A for the Nats, but he's already got a homer, a stolen base, hitting .357, striking out less than 20%, which I love to see from a young player to begin with. So super, super early, four games, 16 plate appearances, but you have to be slightly encouraged. Like, he's kind of holding his own up there. He's going to play every day at third base. So it's just one of those factors. If you're in need of a third base or corner infield, maybe deeper leagues, I think he's interesting.
Yeah. The playing time's safe. Not the best prospect at all, but we have seen crazier things where these guys kind of pop up. And like you said, the skills have been pretty decent. Little bug in my tool here. His numbers don't show up because he's so obscure, but yeah, I don't know. I'd rather have JD Davis at third base. Just put it that way.
That's fair. No, I'd rather have JD Davis as well. That's completely agree with that one. I wanted to mention Mark Canha here because they face five righties this week, but he's been playing very well. So what are you seeing with Mark Canha? He's playing pretty much every day too.
Yes, and Mark Canha, like, two of the last three seasons has been double-digit homers and steals and showing a little bit of pop and, like you said, playing every day. So probably wouldn't add him in a 12-teamer, but I think Canha in a 15.
Oh, 15 for sure.
Definitely. Is pretty good. He's 24% rostered in CBS. So, yeah, I like it.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Somehow Jordan Westberg's not that high rostered. I'd fix that, in my personal opinion. There's Kevin Biggio, who you've talked about. But let's go to Jose Caballero. You hinted at him earlier, playing a lot, almost every day, if not every day. And he's doing the kind of the things I was hoping he'd do when the move took place. So what are your thoughts on Jose Caballero as he is running and running a lot? So the Rays are just running a ton.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays do. We saw this with the Rosarena last year. Like, his success rate wasn't even that great, but he's still
good or bad. They're going to run.
Yeah. And so Caballero's, he's going to run. The power, I don't know if it's going to be there. He's got some pop. Like, he's not a zero. He's not a aforementioned Miles Straw. But if Caballero can keep this, like, 20% strikeout rate, which would be fantastic, and he runs this often, I think a very sneaky stolen base guy who could be somewhat decent in batting average. And like I said, if the Brandon Lau injury is anything, who's going to step into that number two slot in Tampa? The answer to that could be Siri or Caballero, and that could be pretty sweet for either of them.
Hopefully Caballero, because Siri's on base would be atrocious there, but it'd be interesting.
Agreed.
You mentioned JJ Bleday earlier. There's Brandon Marsh. Tyler Freeman's another third baseman getting a ton of playing time with Cleveland, if you're feeling that. I want to bring up Michael A. Taylor, and this is probably more of a 15-team only situation, but like the thing with Taylor is you always think, okay, hits really good versus lefties, whatever, and we've talked about him in years past as a great DC target. He's like a 15-15 guy every year, plays 140 games. He signed late with Pittsburgh, so I thought maybe, okay, platoon situation. The first four games Pittsburgh had were all lefties, so we didn't know. Well, the Pirates have played at least two or three games now straight in a row versus righties, and Michael A. Taylor's played every single game. So Michael A. Taylor is their center fielder. He bats ninth, so not like ideal, at least ninth versus righties, maybe a little higher versus lefties. But the point I'm trying to make, if you're looking for at-bats from a professional hitter that's going to hit for a decent average, he's going to have some pops, but he's going to contribute along all categories, very solid 15-team outfielder in my opinion.
That's a spot-on call. I think even like enters the 12 conversation. I mean, somebody who in partial playing time last year, Michael A. Taylor, less than 400 plate appearances. Michael Taylor at 21 homers with 13 steals.
Yes, he does it every year. Look at his whole career. Like, the numbers are great. It's just always a playing time question. Right now, he has played every single game for the Pirates.
A ton of hard contact last year. He's
20% barrel this year already.
20% barrel this year. He has at least run with Pittsburgh so far this year. He does have that stolen base. I think Michael Taylor's so easy to just be like, oh, Michael Taylor sucks, and move on and try and chase DeLauder, just because I said chase. I think Michael Taylor is a very, very decent 15-team ad.
Anybody else on the hitting side of things? Like, the rest are pretty much just kind of deep need fillers type stuff.
Yeah, not really. I'll just echo the JJ Bleday call. I like that one. Other than that, I think we covered the big ones on the CBS side.
All right, why don't you hit on what you got on the starting pitching side of things?
All right, so similar deal. This is all pitchers. CBS has a weird starting pitcher, relief pitcher designation. So, like,
better than NFBCs.
At least they do have a, designation. Although I'd rather have whatever. I don't care.
I was being sarcastic.
Don't want it wrong. Like, Javier Assad is not a relief pitcher, but he is. Whatever. Yell at CBS, not me. So basically the same concept here for pitchers. It's just that the skills I added are ones we talk about all the time. Strikeout minus walk that we're putting on here for all the pitcher risers, swinging strike rate, and ball percentage. Those last two are proxies for strikeout and walk rate. So you got kind of the two per pitch metrics with the golden goose, strikeout minus walk.
All right. The things we're always in a fan of here. Somehow Griffin Jacks is not heavily owned. I'm pretty sure most formats he is, but if he's out there, please fix that. Like, that just
did pitch the seventh in a game this week.
High leverage. Baldelli went Baldelli. Like, we talked about that. Baldelli went Baldelli in that one. We should have said this earlier. Kevin Hastein, he's a proud member of the Michael A. Taylor fan club because he had him with Kansas City recently too.
Like, that's right.
He's just been a dude. And then another thing Kevin mentioned that we'll throw out there. Just a heads up, Raz Slam Cutline, your first fab is this Tuesday. You only get two fab runs in that, so jump on that quickly, folks. All right, back to the pitching side of things. Javier Assad, pitch to contact guy, don't watch his starts. Mentioned that before. Spencer Turnbull is interesting, and we'll get more to him because I think he might be a two-step guy next week when we get to the two steps. But really, really good first start. There's been like he's a two-starter next week. There were expectations for him in the past, but he's been injured so much. He gets at St. Louis and then first Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah, that's a nice two-step. And again, with these guys, with pitching in general, we talked about Garrett Crochet last show. Like, you missed the train. That train has left the station. This is a week to, you know, yes, it was just one start for Spencer Turnbull, but it passed the smell test and the metrics look really good and you get a decent two-step. Spencer Turnbull will be bid upon in pretty much all my leagues this weekend.
Yep, 100% with you on that. Logan Allen's been surprisingly good. I'm still nervous that the execution's there. Have you seen anything that gets you overly excited?
The again, just two starts, 11 innings. A combination of an 11% swinging strike and a 33% ball rate is good. Your league average ball rate's 36, so 33% is in green on this sheet. And if you get an average whiff rate, like that could work.
And I love to play the look-ahead game. He gets the White Sox this week and next week at Boston versus Oakland.
Oh, I did not know that.
So his next three starts, he gets White Sox and Oakland. Boston, I'll give you a coin flip. Like, so that's not a bad little setup there. I love the look-ahead.
Yep. No, that's huge. I'm glad you are doing that because that's something I don't do enough. So let's keep that
I got you.
I'll keep that division of duties going. Yes,
you make these awesome grids. I can float around the internet. We got that figured out. David Robertson, yes, he's going to be closing soon. So please get in on that train.
I mean, you've been on that, and I don't know. So David Robertson is 24% roster. So he's rising in CBS leagues. I don't know what the NFBC or other format rostership is. But yes, go grab your David Robertson. Take a spec now because Jose Leclerc does not look long for the job.
Alec Marsh is a big one. I just want to throw him out. He threw great, but remember, like, this is a guy that I have faith in. I think he's going to get better. He showed improvements, it felt like, this last time out. But when you're looking at Alec Marsh, it's like this next week it's at the Mets. Okay, Mets have been bad, but they still have a good off, like, lineup. I think it turns eventually. The following week's Baltimore. I wouldn't start him against Baltimore. So Marsh might be, at least for me, a guy to wait on unless you saw something digging in deeper.
Nope, I agree. And again, with this one start stuff, you have to take opponent quality into account as well. So.
Graham Ashcraft is a name that I've seen floated around lately, changing his mechanics and whatnot.
And throwing at least one new pitch, two new pitches. I don't know. He's missing bats, 14% swinging strike rate in six innings. So he at least missed some bats and threw some strikes, but that park scares me, and it's still Graham Ashcraft, I think. So,
if you need a one start pitcher next week, Paul Blackburn gets the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, at home or away? I know we just went through the schedule, but
at home,
it's decent. But man, hold your nose. I mean, the skills are not good with Paul Blackburn.
Strikeout upside's the enticing part there. Let's talk about this one, because I noticed it digging in on something on one of my shows recently. Tyler Anderson looked good against the Marlins. He gets Tampa Bay and then at Boston this week, which is not ideal, and then at Cincinnati next week. So that's a no-go for sure. But what are you thinking with the two-step this week?
I don't know, man. I got so burnt by Tyler Anderson last year, which should not factor into my decision for this year, but like, he did look good in one start, seven innings. And he has been good as recently as 2 years ago with the Dodgers. So, like, I don't want to just totally shut this down. Would you take the Tyler Anderson two start or Logan Allen, Spencer Turnbull?
I'd take Logan Allen, Spencer. I go Turnbull, Allen, then Anderson.
Okay. I think so too.
Like Allen's two steps next the following weeks, but you still need to get on it now because he'll be way too expensive. If he throws good again next week, that's an expensive ad the following week.
Yeah.
So jump on that while you can. Other than that, like, is there anybody that really stands out to you here? Nothing too crazy to me.
I have Spencer Turnbull and Paul Blackburn and Gallegos on here twice. So fix that up for next week. Ian Hamilton, if you are, so he's just a middle reliever right now for the Yankees. All green on this sheet, a 44% strikeout minus walk, 23% whiff rate, and he's throwing strikes over almost six innings as a reliever for the Yankees. Again, if you're in deep leagues, like a week of 2 to 3 appearances of Ian Hamilton could be a lot better than a blow up from Javier Assad. And if something happens to Clay Holmes, which wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world, Ian Hamilton as a safe spec is a decent ad right now. And I don't think you'd really need to pay anything for Ian Hamilton. So that is a name who sticks out if you're taking long shots on saves. But again, worst case, getting pretty good ratios out of middle relief.
Yeah, and Hamilton had his chances last year before he got hurt. So I think that's a very, very interesting.
Yep.
All right, let's play a little two-step game before we'll go through team by team, at least the ones that are going to probably be available on the waiver wire for you, and give you the yay, nay, what are we thinking on it. So Arizona, Zach Gallen's already rostered. Atlanta, I'd imagine Charlie Morton and Ronaldo Lopez are both rostered. If they're not, you like them both. It's at home against the Mets at Miami. I'd say yes.
Agreed.
Yes, because Lopez might actually be available.
Lopez might be available, he's – I don't know what the starter version of Lopez looks like, but a two-step against that schedule is pretty awesome.
Yep, I'd take Lopez if he's out there. Baltimore, Cole Irvin at Boston versus Milwaukee.
There was talks of like higher velocity this spring from Cole Irvin. Didn't really pan out in his first start, I don't think, but I'm in between. I'm probably throwing in a 15, not a 12.
Yeah, I'm probably just out, but I could see the 15. No, I could see the 15. They're different, but I'm
dude. There's just not much. But
I'm trying to be more picky this year if I can, and I'm gonna miss some. I'll completely be honest, but I'm gonna probably skip on that one. Brian Bello is rostered. Javier Assad at San Diego at Seattle.
That's your boy.
Man, it's actually I defer. Not a bad. San Diego could be tricky. Seattle's not bad. I'll still pass. The pitch to contact is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. Cincinnati, Graham Ashcraft versus Milwaukee. So that's in Great American. At the White Sox, though.
Yeah, that's like the yin and yang. I could see doing Ashcraft in a 15-teamer, especially we just talked about, at least through one start, him missing bats and throwing strikes. So maybe there's something there with this new pitch mix kind of a deal. You just kind of hope Ashcraft gets through Milwaukee and then at the White Sox against Crochet. Yeah. But you still that's pretty nice. Yeah. I think Montas is.
Yeah, I think you roll the dice on Ashcraft. Montas should be rostered, but if he isn't, I would take that two step.
Yeah,
Bieber's going to be rostered. Freeland, don't even think about it. Yep. Reese Olson, if he's available at Pitt versus Minnesota, is pretty nice.
Agreed. Probably rostered, but if available, Reese Olson, that's a very nice two step.
Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, rostered. Cole Reagan's rostered. Tyler Anderson, we already hit on that one. James Paxton at Minnesota versus San Diego. I'd say give it a roll.
I'd give it a roll. I mean, he went five in Paxton's first first start in a win against your Giants. So really, I mean, with streaming, like the win potential is so much. We talk about Ks and blow up ratios and that sort of thing, but could very easily get two wins out of Paxton against the Twins and the Padres. I mean, the Dodgers just look
like good. Part of my thoughts on streaming, like ratios, they're already not great pitchers. So you're just praying there. Your goal is to get at least one win and like 10 strikeouts is my kind of plan. Like if you can pull that off with your two starts, it's a good week. Just don't blow up my ratios. And I think that's a success. And I think Paxton can give you that. So
did have five walks in his debut, but also
he might blow up the whip. So he's got that going for him. Lizardo's roster, Jacob Junis in Great American Small Park at Baltimore. That's a pass for me, dog.
It is. I like Junis, though. Yeah. It killed me that. So we talk, and maybe he's not built up all the way, but it was a foreign dive for Jake Junis in his debut with Milwaukee. So far, Milwaukee's using him like your Giants did last year, not letting him really go five. And that sucks. But maybe we give Milwaukee the benefit of the doubt and they stretch out Junis and he eventually goes five. Because on a per pitch basis, that slider looks nasty and he throws it all the time.
And I'm curious what they're going to do with the rotation because Wade Miley comes back next week. So does Junis even pitch Sunday? Does it spread out more?
Good point.
Who gets dropped? It might not even be a two-step for him. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at it. Minnesota, you got Louis Varland and Chris Paddock, Dodgers at Detroit.
Yeah, that's – both of those scare me, especially with how Varland looked in his debut. Yeah. I don't recall how – Paddock did off
Paddock
the top
was kind of just like mediocre from what I remember. Nothing too great, nothing that destroyed you.
Yeah. And in win potential, those two guys are going against Flaherty and Reese Olson. So, you know, I mean, it's not a cakewalk. Detroit, I don't know. I think I'm throwing Varland in a 15. Paddock, I don't know about. That's tough.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna LA is so tough.
Just gonna pass on both. Just gonna move on that one.
Speaking about passing on both, we present the New York Mets.
I was about to say, okay, yeah, you got Julio Teheran and Adrian Hauser at Atlanta versus the Royals.
Yep.
And Hauser.
Why is Julio Teheran
just got signed?
Pitching.
Just got signed because they just Miguel's gone. They need pitchers.
I don't really need to know the answer to that. I'm just
It's bad. And to make it even better, both those guys start next week against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So don't even waste your fab.
Yeah.
Yankees, Nestor Cortez should be rostered. Oakland, Alex Wood at Texas versus Washington. Probably no.
Probably no. That at Texas could be brutal. And really, even though the Washington starts nice, what is your win potential with the Sacramento A's?
Philadelphia, you got Turnbull and Wheeler. Wheeler's roster. We talked Turnbull at St. Louis, Pittsburgh. I'm rolling with Turnbull.
I think I'd roll with Turnbull. Yep.
Yep. Mitch Keller should be rostered. Yu Darvish should be rostered. Luis Castillo is definitely rostered. Blake Snell should be rostered. St. Louis doesn't have a two-step. Eflin's rostered. Heaney and Eovaldi. Heaney has Houston twice. Eovaldi has Oakland and Houston. Eovaldi should be rostered. Heaney, on the other hand, Houston twice. I guess an easy no.
It's not an easy no in a 15, but it's
an easy no. It's a no. Barrios should be rostered. And then Trevor Williams at the Giants at Oakland. That's actually like in a 15.
I know. I'm clicking on what did Williams do in his debut? Five Ks, two walks.
It was last night. Yeah, he treaded lightly and survived. That's what Williams does.
I still can't do it. I can't do it. Even in the West Coast swing, the Bay Area swing, that is very risky. This is the type of two-step we talk about all draft season that you do not want to put yourself in that spot. And so I'm gonna hold on to that. Maybe Trevor Williams pitches well against an easy schedule, but I'm not going there yet.
So in the grand scheme of things, most two-step guys are already rostered, unless your name is Spencer Turnbull.
Tyler Anderson. Ashcraft.
Assad. Like Paxton. And maybe Reese Olson. Maybe Ronaldo Lopez, depending on your formats.
Yep.
And where was the last one that we were looking at? Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. So it's most two-steppers are taken care of for the week already, basically what that comes down to. The one sneaky one, because even the look-aheads weren't great, Logan Allen. that's your look ahead pick. Like, get him now on the cheap. Get him now. Because you can even utilize this one start this week and then a nice two step after that. So
I like
if you take away from my talk on this, Michael A. Taylor is actually worth something to Logan Allen. That's my 2 cents on this show for tonight.
We'll clip that one.
All right. Oh, no. Now it's official. All right. Let's do some listener questions on this bad boy before we head on out. And I need to get a new phone eventually because it's taking forever to load stuff. There we go. Tyler Johnson, he asks, who is one pitcher and hitter bargain fab-wise pickup of the week, $5 or less? Michael A. Taylor.
We'll go Michael A. and Turnbull. Come on. Turnbull. Let's bring it home.
Turnbull. Yep. I think that's fair because I think Logan Allen is going to go for a little more. I think he go a little more than $5. Let's go with our boy Anthony Gialdi. He's got, with all the pitching injuries, are you stashing highly touted minor leaguers or taking shots at MLB starters with good matchups? Another option is to stash spec closers. I'm speaking of anyone available. NPC minor league options might be limited for now.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Ian Hamilton as like a stash. I don't think, and don't quote me on this, although it is a podcast, it's being recorded, so it's on the record. I don't know when these kind of waves of minor league pitchers will start coming. I want to say like early mid-May, and therefore I think it's a little too early to start stashing like a Christian Scott type, but maybe in another week or two start looking at that.
Yeah, like you said, an MPC probably SOL on that, but if you can do it.
Yeah.
So Gialdi says you're stashing, not churning. I'm churning. I'm not stashing pitching. I'm doing a lot of churning of pitchers or getting spec guys, which I still use, like David Robertson. You mentioned Hamilton. We didn't even talk Kansas City. Like, I'm a MacArthur guy. I know he struggled. Schreiber's been a popular name. There's a couple situations where you can already see the writing on the wall, so go get them now type thing. If you don't like the two-step options, like this week, not the best two steps, perfect time to go stash a closer for a buck or two. The perfect time to do it. So definitely something to think about on that one. Randy Leeson says Colton Cowser should play every day next week. Hopefully. Let's cross your fingers.
Should as in like the team should play him or he should play?
In reality, he should. Will the team play him? Haven't shown it yet. Yeah. And then calling my shot, who is the boldest drop you've made so far? Do you regret it? Mine is Justin Turner in a 12-teamer. I do not regret it. I might regret it because, yes, he's good, but we talked about it, I think, even last show. In a perfect storm, he's like, 20 to 22 homers, couple of steals. The average part's the part that would kill me the most. The rest of his stat line I can probably stream throughout the season. The batting average is the tricky part, but he was a bench guy for me. He wasn't even a starter for me, and that's kind of where the churning part comes into play. So I could regret it. Do I regret it right now? No.
My toughest drop, I haven't really had one. I'll say Colton Cowser. I dropped Colton Cowser last week just because he's not playing, and I was like, maybe I regret this and he starts playing, but my rule, it's 15 teamer.
Yeah.
I don't want to have people that don't play, which sounds simple, but yeah, Colton Cowser was probably my toughest drop so far.
Yeah, mine was in a 12. So, and it's already like, we talk about it a lot in a lot of our preview shows, and even when we end the season, like learning from our mistakes or learning from this or that. And it's my third year in the OCs, and I've tried to pick up things every year. And I made a point when we live streamed and talked about things that my bench guys are for the first part of the year, and I'm going to be moving things. And it's made it so much easier because we talk about like when you end up drafting these reserve picks that you like a lot, it becomes a lot harder to drop. So I think that's part of calling my shots question, because you're like, I dropped them because I see such and stuff. And part of me wishes I never drafted Turner, because I should have drafted someone else I could have wanted to play for the opening weekend and then moved on from. Where Turner, in a perfect world, like there's a lot of people, what are you doing dropping him? Like, I get it. It's difficult. And Cowser, for you, when you drafted that Cowser pick, he was probably crushing spring training. And it's like, why would anybody not play him? And now here we are. Like Luis Rengifo, that's going to be a potential drop pretty soon. Yes. That's going
to
suck.
I hate to, can't treat Rengifo special treatment if someone's not playing.
And that's the point. Like the six righties next week or whatever it is? If he doesn't play at all, it's like,
it's a dead spot.
Yeah. And then we got to move on. So to the question, like that's the whole thing. It's you got to be able to, the idea of churning, everyone talks about, but to churn, you have to have guys on your bench that aren't like staples. that make it difficult to churn, if that makes sense.
Depressing end of the show, but yeah, we take emotion out of our fantasy decisions.
Cash money, y'all. All right, but we'll wrap it there. Any final thoughts as we head into week 3 Fab weekend? We have a full week of baseball under the belt. By the time we talk next Tuesday, maybe Eloy Jimenez is back from the IL. I don't know.
Yeah.
But some fun stuff.
Been fun stuff. I have in real baseball, my 4-year-old starts T-ball this weekend. So we got the practice Friday night and then a game Saturday. Have very low expectations for how that's going to go.
But, I'm jealous.
He'll be running around in a field, which is about as good as you can ask for.
Yep, have some fun with that, Dad. You'll enjoy it. It'll be cool. You got to take him to a game last weekend. You get to watch him play T-ball this weekend. Life is good. But yeah, other than that, should be fun. Hope you guys enjoy your baseball weekend. Good luck and Fab as usual. We'll be back with you guys next week. But for now, check out Ryan on the Twitter at RyanBHQ. I am at BDintric. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 123. Catch y'all next time.